You know, it's not a shock to any of us. It's not news to any of us to talk about the fact that there is an enormous gap that exists between the lost world and their salvation from sin. We know that's the case. We know that's the case just from looking around, but we know that's the case from the Bible. That there's a massive gap that exists between those who are lost out in the world and their salvation that is so desperately needed. And yet it's not news to us to know that the Bible says that it is the gospel that they need. That it is the gospel that bridges that gap between those who are lost in sin and the salvation that they need. That's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. When he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Unto salvation. The very thing that the lost need in order to have salvation from their sins is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet it should not be a surprise to any of us either that the gospel will not get to those who are lost, who so desperately need salvation from their sin. The gospel will not get to them without us. The Bible tells us that our responsibility is to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Those who do so desperately need the salvation from their sins, so desperately need the gospel, and it's what we have to offer. It's what we have to give. And so this morning, I want us to think about how can we get the gospel to those who need it. In the month of April, a little bit later in this year, in the month of April, we're going to be talking about this subject in a more personal way. Month of April, we're talking about to stand in the gap in order to reach those who I know with the gospel. There's a very personal responsibility that you and I have to people that we know right here in our families, in our homes even, within our neighborhoods who need the gospel. But this morning, we're talking about the lost world. This morning, we're talking about the 8 billion plus souls that are in the world. How are we going to reach these souls with the gospel? How are we going to stand in the gap? How can we stand in the gap in order to help those who are lost to have the salvation from their sin by coming into contact with the gospel of Jesus Christ? So this morning, I want us to think about just some things, and I'm going to share with you a few things. But this morning, they're going to go from the top of the list where, well, you might look at the top of the list and say, that's not me. Because the top of the list, there may not be many who can do what's on the top of the list. But as we go down this list this morning, you're going to see that it gets gradual and gradual to the point where all of us can do those things that are near the bottom of the list. What can you and I do in order to stand in the gap to take the gospel to the lost world? Here's something that some of you can do. Here's something that some of you need to think about doing, and that is you need to think about becoming a preacher. Young men, boys, I want you to listen to me this morning. You need to think about becoming a preacher. You need to think about following in the footsteps of Jesus and being a preacher, becoming a missionary. There is no better life. I guarantee you, promise you, there is no better life than being a preacher. You will not enjoy this life any more than if you are a preacher. Now, there's a lot of things you can do in this life that'll make a lot of differences. But there's nothing you can do that'll make more of a difference than being a preacher of the gospel. Being a missionary. Taking the good news of Jesus to people who need it. Some of you are young and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life. Make a decision tonight. Make a decision today. I do not remember a time in my life where I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. I go all the way back, and I don't have a memory that goes back beyond the day where I knew I wanted to be a preacher. Some of you are that young where you can make that decision now. Some of you are beyond those years. But I have known of men who retired early from their jobs, took their retirement with them, took their pension with them, went to a school of preaching in order that they could go out and be a preacher and be a missionary. That's not just funny things to talk about. That's not just silly things that preachers need to stand up and say. That's something serious that men in this place need to think about, that young men and boys in this place need to think about. Give your life to the work. Stand in the gap. Somebody says, well, I'm not a man. I can't do that. Somebody says, I don't have that ability. I can't do that. Okay, well, maybe you can't do that, but can you go on a trip? Can you take a trip to a missionary, to a mission point, to a mission effort? Can you be like Timothy in Acts chapter 16? Can you go with Paul on a missionary journey? Can you go and find a missionary, a mission point, and go out there and to see what you can do to make a difference? And as you think about it, some of you have been on mission trips. Some of you have been on mission trips with groups from this church. Some of you have been on mission trips with groups from other churches, like the Latin American Missions that's up in Valdosta in the church in Forest Park. Some of you have been on mission trips with when you were in college. And there's a group from Fried Hardeman that is going to North Carolina a little bit during spring break of this year. Some of you have been there and done that. May I encourage you, when you get ready to do that, that when you go on these trips, make it about the work and not about you. I've seen a lot of people go on these trips and they make the trip about themselves. The trip's not about you. If it's a mission trip, you're going on a trip to do a mission. And that's to make sure the gospel gets spread all around the world. Don't make it about you. Make it about the work. In Philippians chapter 2, there's a man by the name of Epaphroditus. You don't have to know how to spell that in order to get to heaven, but you do need to know how to pronounce it, so learn it. It's Epaphroditus. Anyway, so Epaphroditus in Philippians 2 went on a mission trip. He went to see Paul. He went to see this missionary. And in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says at the very last verse of 25, he says, he came to minister to me. Epaphroditus didn't go there to minister to himself, say, hey, I'm going on a mission trip. Aren't I great? No. He came to minister to Paul. And the last verse of the chapter says, he ministered to the point where he almost died. Sometimes we go on a mission trip because we're like, hey, this will be a vacation. Mission trips should not be vacations. If they are vacations, it's the wrong kind of mission trip. They ought to be work. You're not going there to be helped. You're going there to help. You're not going there to create more work for the people who are there because of what you do. You're going there to work and to help them. We need to give our time. We need to give our time to standing in the gap. We save up for vacations. We save up for big purchases. Can't we save up to go on a mission trip? To go help somebody somewhere to teach the gospel. Somebody says, well, I'm not sure that I can do all of these. Remember, we're progressing down a list where these things get to where all of us can do some of these things. Maybe I can't do the first two, but I can contribute to help those who are in the mission field. I can give money in order to help those who are taking the gospel around the world. Remember, in April, we're going to talk about where it gets personal, where I'm not just giving money, where I personally get involved in reaching out to people that I know. But when we're talking about people around the world where I can't necessarily go, I can contribute my money. That's what was happening in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul says that he was bragging on the churches in Macedonia and how much they had given to him. And he says in verse 4 that they were imploring us to receive the gift. He says they're begging us to take the gift, and he says they couldn't afford it, but we took it anyway because they had first given themselves to the Lord. We use God's money for all sorts of things, don't we? We use God's money to buy things that we need, and we use God's money to buy things that we want. We need to make sure that we're using God's money to do God's work. The work belongs to Him, and the money belongs to Him. And so we need to readily and happily and joyfully give funds so that the gospel can be spread. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul wrote to one of those churches that he was bragging about, to the church at Corinth, Philippians chapter 4, and he says that he had received the gift that they had sent by Epaphroditus. They had received the gift. He had received the gift that they had sent. And he says it was like a sweet-smelling aroma that went up to heaven. Not literally. But he said, it was pleasing to me, and it was pleasing to my God, what you had given. How much did they give? We don't know. The amount didn't matter. They first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave that gift to Paul. What can we do to stand in the gap to take the gospel to the world? We can become a preacher. If you're a young man and ready to give your life to preaching, that's what you need to do. We can go on a mission trip and help some missionary or mission effort somewhere and make a difference there. Or we can give money. We can contribute our funds to help those who are going. Or it gets easier and more universal as we go down the list. We can encourage those missionaries even from our home. We can reach out to them without even leaving our home to help them, to encourage them. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 23, the Proverbs writer Solomon would say that a word fitly spoken, a word spoken at a good time, how good it is. Isn't that right? Haven't you felt that? And when somebody says the right thing at the right time, how much of a difference it makes to you? And so in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, he says that same word, that word that is fitly spoken, he says it's like a honeycomb. What do you mean it's like a honeycomb, Solomon? He said that it is sweetness to the soul and it's health to the bones. Have you ever received a card in the mail? Have you ever received an email that was just sent out of kindness with words of encouragement? Was it sweetness to your soul and health to your bones to get that message? What do you think it means to a missionary when they're out there in a foreign field working for the Lord and they get a short message from somebody maybe they don't even know of encouragement? Can I ask you when you do that? First of all, can I ask you to do that? But when I ask you to do that, can I ask you, don't ask them to write you back. Don't say, hey, when you get a chance, send me some pictures. Hey, when you get a chance, tell me how it's going. They've got enough going on. They don't need to answer 20 different emails that come for you because you don't have anything better to do but sit around and send them an email or write them. They've got other stuff to do. But encourage them. Remember, these two principles about this idea of contributing and then encouraging. When I encourage somebody else without expecting them to return, that's just a good life principle. I need to understand that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, you know that verse. It's more blessed for me to give encouragement than it is for me to receive it. And so let me encourage these missionaries. Do you know that if you're a member of this congregation, we give out our family albums, the church directories, about three times a year that have all of the pictures and contact information for the members of this church. But do you know over in the back pages of that, you know what's there? Contact information for our missionaries. You know why it's there? So that we can send them encouraging notes to let them know that we're thinking about them and that we are praying for them, which is the final thing on the list. You might look at some of this and say, well, I can't become a preacher. I'm not sure I can go on a trip. I don't have a whole lot that I can give, and I'm kind of a sourpuss. I don't really encourage anybody, so I'm not sure I can encourage missionaries. But what can I do? There's all of us who can pray. Do you have a prayer list? Do you have a list of people and things and situations that you pray about every day? I hope you do. The Apostle Paul had a prayer list. You read through his letters and you can compile what must have been on his prayer list as you read through his letters. And if you've got a prayer list, I want to encourage you. Pray for the lost. Paul did. Romans chapter 10, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Do you pray for those who are lost? Do you pray for our missionaries by name? They're in the back of the directory. They're in our bulletin every week. Do you pray for our missionaries by name? Short verse in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25. Paul just says, brethren, pray for us. Do you pray for our missionaries? Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, he said, pray that a door of opportunity might be opened. Do you pray that doors might be opened, that the gospel can be spread? And Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, he says, pray for the gospel. What do you mean pray for the gospel? That it might run swiftly, that it might have free course. Do we pray that? Do we pray for those who are lost in sin, that they might find someone, a missionary, a Christian who can teach them the gospel? Do we pray that doors of opportunity might be open before them? When you think about the gap that exists between the lost world and salvation from sin, you know what's in the middle of that gap, and that's the gospel. But you also know that it is our responsibility to bridge that gap so that those who need the gospel can find the gospel. I'm so thankful. And I know that the members of this congregation know where this lesson is going because you know what next week is. I'm so thankful for what's been happening in this congregation over the last 20 years with our Mission Sunday. I'm so thankful that our Mission Sunday has been one of those efforts that this congregation has put forth, one of those efforts that our elders decided to do 21 years ago, where every year on Mission Sunday we get to stand in the gap. Every year on Mission Sunday we're reminded of the lost world who needs the gospel and the fact that there's a gap between them and salvation from sin, and we're reminded about the fact that we need to find ways to bridge that gap. And that's what Mission Sunday, that's what it's all about. The elders in 2003 said, what can we do more? What can we do more in evangelism? What can we do more to reach the lost world? And that's when they came up with this idea. Let's take one Sunday every year. And let's use that one Sunday every year. And whatever is given on that day, we will use for mission work that year. And for the last 20 years, that's what we've done. A Sunday early in the year, and for the last however many years, it's been right there on the last Sunday of January, where we get to stand in the gap, where we get to be reminded of our responsibility as Christians. And we have been in these last 20 years, haven't you been amazed at what God has done? Not amazed at what we've done. It's not us. It's not about us. But we ought to stand amazed when God's people give God's money to do God's work for God's glory. And when that happens, we ought to stand amazed at what happens. Not because of our glory, it's not ours. Not because of our money, it's not ours. Not because of our work, it's not ours. It all belongs to the Lord. But when it all comes together on Mission Sunday, what a day of victory. What a day of glory it is. So I want to share with you over these next couple minutes the challenges that the elders have for us on Mission Sunday 2024. The opportunities that the elders want to present to us to say, here are some things that we can do in 2024 if we're able to reach our goals next week on Mission Sunday. And I know as members of this congregation, you know what we're about ready to do. We're about ready to build what we affectionately call the Mission Sunday pyramid. And we're about ready to talk and go up this screen and add item after item, work after work, say, okay, if we can reach this level, we can do this much for the Lord. And I want to tell you today, the elders have heard your challenges. Over these last few years, this congregation has given over and above what the elders have challenged us to give. And so the elders have heard your challenges, and they're coming back to us and saying, okay, well, here's some more that we can do. Here's some more that we need to do. And as we work on talking about these works, we always start with what we call the base. And the base is made up of things that we are already committed to do. The base is made up of works that we're already involved in. And so the amount that is placed on the base says we need this much just to keep doing what we're doing. We need this much just to make good on the commitments that we've made. You remember what we talked about last week, that when Mission Sunday began in 2004, that first year, that the elder said that we had been doing $50,000 in mission work in 2003, and so they told us on Mission Sunday 2004, we need at least $50,000 on this day in order to just keep doing what we're doing. Well, that was our base number. That base has grown over the years because of this congregation, because of how much this congregation has given and the works that we've gotten involved in. That base has grown, and that base is not $50,000 anymore. And so at the beginning this morning, the elders want us to know that in order for us to just meet the works that we're already doing, that next week we need to be able to give $133,650. I want you to look at that number. That's a big number. Some of you may be visiting today and you're like, what in the world are they even talking about? $133,000 in one day? What did we note last week? On average, in 20 years, this congregation's given $148,000 on one day. This is a church that believes in mission work. This is a church that believes in bridging that gap to get the gospel to those who are in so desperate need of it. But this base amount of $133,000, it's 40% higher than any base we have had before. Think about that. But the elders believe in this congregation. They believe that there is work that we need to do. And so they have heard our challenge to them, and they've come back to us this year and said, we need to do more. We can do more. What's in this base that we can do and we need to do in 2024? It has many of the works that we've had been involved in for these last several years, including Nana Afforji over in Nigeria. Nana's been a part of our work. We've been supporting Nana since 1994, doing amazing work in Nigeria. We had Chad Wagner here a few years ago who reported about the work in Nigeria. Chad makes trips over to Nigeria every year, and you might look up Chad Wagner on Facebook, and he just posts pictures all the time from his trips over to Nigeria and what he's doing. I can't remember the name. I think it's called, is it African Evangelism, Africa Evangelism, something like that. He's based out of Arkansas, but just look up Chad Wagner and see what he's doing in Nigeria, and we just get to be a small part of that with Nana and the work that he's been doing over there for so many years. Tamuka is one of our favorite missionaries because he's so regular in reporting to our elders. He's in Zimbabwe. If you think inflation's been bad here over these last couple years, it's nothing compared to what he has experienced in Zimbabwe. The fact that they are relying on rain for their crops so that they can eat, and if they don't get rain for their crops, they won't be able to eat because they cannot afford the food that is at the stores, ought to tell us something. This little van over here in the corner, because of this congregation was able to help him purchase that van this last year. Before that, he was using a big flatbed truck to try to pick up folks for services. But he continues to send pictures, and you can't really see it in this picture, but they pack about 840 people inside of that. It looks like it. When we're seeing pictures of them coming out of that van, it's like, all right, that's 838, 800. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like they're loading it up. And he sends pictures where his wife is driving it to Ladies' Day, and where his young adult sons are taking it to young adult events and youth events all over the place. They're using it up for the Lord, but it's an amazing work, and we just get to be a part of what Tamuka's doing over in Zimbabwe. We get to be a part of what Robert Martin's been doing for the last 50-plus years in the Pacific Islands. Robert Martin's one of our favorite, isn't he? You know, he's like a spark plug when he comes here and just gets you all excited. He's one of those speakers that they don't even need to turn the microphone up in the back. He doesn't need a microphone. He's loud enough without it, but he gets you fired up for serving the Lord. He's one of the favorites here of this congregation, and for 50 years plus, he's been out in the Pacific. We've been able to support him since the late 80s, and to this congregation's credit, Robert was here, what, last month? Robert reported to us. He met with the elders after services and said to the elders, I've lost some of my support. There's congregations that support Robert that some of them have faced some financial hardships, and he had dropped quite a bit in his support because these congregations were not able to continue their support. And a credit to this congregation, he said, is there any way that Palm Beach Lakes can increase your support for us? And because the elders know this church, the elders told Robert, we'll increase your support in 2024. This congregation is committed to getting the gospel out. is committed to helping our missionaries to not have to worry about their support, not have to worry about money, but to make sure they can just go out and be focused on preaching the gospel. Wayne Parker has been in the Pacific. He was there missionary for several years. We were able to support him. Currently, he's the missionary in residence at Freed Hardeman University. Freed Hardeman brings in a different missionary every year to expose them to the students, to teach some classes there. So he's teaching there through May of this year. But in November, and you probably saw his report, we forwarded it out in email. In November, during the Thanksgiving break from school, he took a survey, what's called a survey trip, missionary trip, out to Cyprus. You know Cyprus because you've read about it in the Bible. He took a survey trip over to Cyprus to look at the possibility of starting a mission work in Cyprus. There is not a Church of Christ on the island of Cyprus. Barnabas would be very disappointed to hear that after all of his efforts, but there's not a church there on the island of Cyprus. And so he's looking to, when he gets done at Freed Hardeman, to go and spend part of the year on Cyprus and help to start building a church there, but also to go back to the Pacific and to continue to build up the church there. And we get to be a part of the work that he's doing in these various places. We get to be a part of the work that Tavaro Hanna is doing not very far from here, just over an 8-mile rock in the Bahamas, doing a great work. I was able to be over there at the beginning of last year. He is a hard worker. He is devoted. He's setting up. He goes to the mall and he sets up Bible studies with people in the mall. He sits right out the food court, outside the food court. He's sitting there with his Bible, and he just sets up Bible studies with people sitting right there at the food court in the mall in Freeport. He's determined to help that church, the little church in this little city of 8 Mile Rock, to grow, and we get to be a part of what he's doing there. We get to be a part of the work that is being done down in Coral Springs by Mauricio Yegros. Mauricio is an amazing young man. Came down with the mission team to work among the Spanish to build a Spanish congregation in Coral Springs. But now at the same time, he's helping to build a Spanish and an English congregation. And they're working with another congregation that's down there to try to use their building, an English-speaking congregation, to use their building instead of meeting in some random place to have a church building they can meet in for the Spanish congregation. But he and his wife and kid, they're an amazing group of people doing a great work, and we get to be a part of what they're doing. A name that's familiar to us, but only because of the name, we know Robert J. Lupo because he's here, but his uncle Robert C. Lupo works with the congregation up in Sneedville, Tennessee. Very small congregation, very small community, but we get to help out in supporting him and the work that he's doing there. Robert C. Lupo, he's one of those, you know, kind of 4-H kind of preachers that I think about. You know, he's hard working. You got to be hard. If you're going to be in a place like Sneedville, you got to be hard working. He's humble. Robert is one of the most humble men I've ever met. He's got a heart for people, and he's got a head full of the Word of God. He's a 4-H Christian. But he's a 4-H preacher doing a great job up in Sneedville, and we get to be just a little part of what he's doing. The work at Apologetics Press is a part of our base. It's been a part of this congregation's work since the 80s. In 2004, this congregation, the eldership, took on a different role with Apologetics Press to provide some counsel as a counsel to them and kind of some oversight, a little bit of the work that they do there at Apologetics Press. So we have a unique relationship with them, but they do amazing work. When you see what they put out, they don't put out anything that's half-hearted. They don't put out anything that doesn't just look absolutely outstanding. Not that we're supporting what's outstanding, but what they put out looks outstanding because they want people to look at what's being taught. They want people to look at the message that is there. And so I hope you are familiar with their website. Use their website. I hope you're familiar with their study Bible, that you have their study Bible. You use it. By the way, if you use the Olive Tree Bible app, you can get their study Bible on the Olive Tree Bible app. If you're like, oh, I don't use a paper Bible, fine. Go download the Olive Tree Bible app, and you can get their Defending the Faith study Bible right there and use it even there. But we get to be a little part of the materials that they put out to change the world. And their materials are going all over the world. They ship for free. They'll ship some of their books to missionaries at different mission points if they can use them in the schools, if they can use them in teaching, so that the Word of God is going out. And we get to be a little part of what they're doing. We get to be a part of these mission trips. We talked about mission trips earlier. We have our senior high who go on a mission trip every summer. And a combined senior high and some adults go on a mission trip every summer to a variety of different places. We mentioned last week how many different places they've been over the years. They were in Statesville, North Carolina this last year. This coming June, there'll be another trip to another location. Won't talk about the exact dates or the exact place at this point, but if you want to be a part of that, if you're in the senior high, if you are a Christian and then want to be a part of going on this trip, if you're an adult and say, hey, I'd like to go on this trip, well, guess who's here today? Hey, Josh. We're glad that Josh and Kara are, this of all the days for them to be here, this is a great day for y'all to be here. I don't know if you meant to do that or not, but talk to Josh this morning. Josh is still going to be working with that mission trip. Talk to Robert. He's not going anywhere. He's not leaving tomorrow or anything like Josh. But, you know, if you want to be a part of this mission trip, it's life-changing. But remember, we don't go to change our lives. We go to change their lives. But it's life-changing for everybody who gets involved in these trips. But that's a part of our base on Mission Sunday. Part of our base is house-to-house, heart-to-heart. We've been mailing this out around this community for years, and people are enjoying receiving it. We mail it basically from Blue Heron Boulevard all the way up to Northlake Boulevard on both sides of Military Trail, all the way over to Congress Avenue from Blue Heron Boulevard up to Investment on all of those apartments that are there. And so it just rotates. It just rotates through all of those routes as we mail this out and try to get the gospel into these homes where maybe we can't reach them any other way, and yet they get this in their home. And we've reduced the number this year, and I'm going to tell you why in just a little bit. We've reduced the number this year. It's still going to hit all of those homes, but instead of hitting those homes four times this year, it'll hit them two times this year. So we've reduced the circulation, and I'll tell you why in just a minute, but we're still hitting all of those homes this year. Every home around here is going to hear the gospel a couple times this year through house to house, heart to heart. But one of my favorite things that we started doing a couple years ago is what we call answering Macedonian calls. Answering Macedonian calls to me is one of those things that 2003, our elders were sitting around and saying, what more can we do? How can we reach more souls? And they came up with the idea of Mission Sunday. Well, about 3 or 4 years ago, we were getting close to paying off all of the loans that the church had for the building of this building and all that went on with that. And 3 or 4 years ago, they knew that those notes were almost paid off. And they thought, well, what are we going to do when we've got all of that paid off? We could just say, hey, we don't owe any more money, and we could reduce the budget and tell the church we don't have to give as much anymore because we don't have as much debt. That conversation didn't last. I said, no, that's not what we want to do. And so they asked the same question they asked in 2003. What more can we do in evangelism? How can we reach more souls? And they came up with this answering Macedonian calls. They came up with the idea of, how about we take Josh and Dan and send them out to other congregations who could use some help, other congregations who could use some encouragement. And as you see, here's the mission. The mission is to labor with existing congregations and new works of the Lord's church with the three E's of evangelizing, edifying, and equipping these saints, whether it be in a foreign or domestic places, to try to help these Christians wherever they might be, to help these congregations wherever they might be, to go in and to help build them up, to encourage them. We talked last week about how Dan had, this last year, had been to 14 different places in 7 states and conducted gospel meetings and lectureships and marriage enrichment seminars and leadership workshops. And this last year, you know, Josh, Josh, you know, he only sold his house and moved into an RV. And Kara too. Spent a couple weeks in Cuba. But for the last 5 months of the year, can you imagine every Sunday, every Wednesday being in a different place for the last year? Going and meeting with people that you don't know, talking to them about answering Macedonian calls, talking to them about reaching out and helping congregations who are in need in this country. Josh and Kara, thank you for what you've done. Fundraising is the least enjoyable part of mission work. It's the hardest part. Fundraising weeds out the people who don't need to be missionaries, because when they realize how hard it is to raise funds, they get an inkling of how hard it is to be a missionary. Thank you for what you all have done. They've been trying to raise $5,000 a month for their work fund, and they're up to $4,300 a month. That's not easy to raise in these days. With the economy like it is, and inflation like it is, and congregations not always having the funds like they used to. But some of you have been praying for Josh and Kara, and that's why they've been so successful in doing this. We're blessed in this congregation to have elders who say, what more can we do? And so in 2024, Dan's lining up those congregations again. 2024, Josh is leaving tomorrow. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. He's leaving tomorrow to go on a trip. When he gets back from that trip, he's going to go on another trip. And then when he gets back from that trip, they're going to go spend about 3 months out in Idaho working with a congregation out there. Josh, I can't say that without thinking about your granddad and thinking about what your granddad did, following his footsteps. And then Josh is still a part of our week at camp. He and Cam were planning camp just a couple days ago, and so in July he'll be back to be a part of Forever Camp. And then for August and September and October, going up and working with a congregation, really small congregation in Cherokee, North Carolina, but a really good congregation up there, and working to help them and encourage them. I hope you all are praying for Josh and Kara and the work that they are doing. I hope you're praying for Dan and Judy and the travels that they do. Maybe we need to pray more for Dan and Judy and the travels they do. They're driving everywhere in this country in that minivan. We need to pray for our elders, that they'll continue to have the vision that says, what more can we do? Answering Macedonian calls is biblical, because Paul heard that Macedonian call, and when he heard the Macedonian call, he didn't say, well, I hope somebody else answers it. When Dan and Josh have been getting Macedonian calls over these last couple of years, they haven't said, well, I hope somebody else answers that. They've been the ones that have answered that call. Thank God for these two men, for their wives, and what they're doing. A part of our base, a part of what we're doing, a part of answering Macedonian calls now, is our efforts in Easter Island. And tomorrow, finally, since 2019, Josh is getting to go back to Easter Island. Josh is leaving tomorrow to go down to Easter Island again for about 2.5 weeks. Josh has been down there. He's made, how many trips, Josh? 14 trips or 16 trips? It's one of those, I can't remember. Josh is like, I don't know, it's like 400 trips. Been on that island in the middle of nowhere teaching the gospel, baptizing 4 individuals into Christ, and every Sunday since meets with those Christians, encourages those Christians, meeting with them obviously online, but finally gets to go back, and he's stopping in Chile on the way. Easter Island's a territory of Chile, stopping in Chile on the way, meeting with the church, meeting with some brethren in Chile, and then taking one of those brethren from Chile with him over to Easter Island to introduce him to the work that's being done. The idea our elders have is to hopefully one day get a full-time missionary over there on Easter Island. But we get to be a part. Some of you, a couple of you, Darren, a couple of you have been, Dan McLeod have been to Easter Island. Dan has been to Easter Island with Josh. But the reality is all of us have been to Easter Island with Josh. And Josh, we'll be with you tomorrow. Pack your bags. Leave some room for us. We'll all be going with Josh tomorrow. Be praying for him as he goes. But when you look at this, this is just the base. Next week, we need $133,650 just to do the things that we're already committed to do. But you know our elders. Our elders are not satisfied with just saying, here's what we already are doing. Let me quickly walk with you for some things that the elders say, here are some things that we would like to do. Here are some things that we could do. And so next week, if we're able to give $141,150, we will be able to meet those special requests that come in for mission trips. This is on the pyramid every year because every year there are individuals like our college students particularly who go to a Christian college and they get an opportunity to go on a mission trip. And so they'll write a letter to this congregation saying, hey, can you help me go on this mission trip? It costs this much to go. And because of Mission Sunday, we're able to help them. We don't always pay it all for them to go because, but we're able to help them because of Mission Sunday. And there's other special requests that come in. Sometimes some of you have an opportunity to go on one of those trips. And because of Mission Sunday, this congregation is able to help you go. But also a part of answering Macedonian calls, and hopefully later this year, Josh will be able to go back to Paraguay. You know, Josh and Kara were missionaries in Paraguay for 5 years and made such a huge difference with that congregation there, so much so that as they neared the end of their time there, the congregation there realized, we don't need missionaries anymore. That's what a missionary does. Missionary works to work themselves out of a job, to say, work a congregation where they don't need the missionary anymore. And so this congregation realized, we don't need a missionary anymore. We can do this work on our own. And so what you're seeing on the screen, this group of people that's in the shape of a heart, that is the, what we would say, the Sacramento Avenue congregation, the congregation that Josh and Kara worked with, that don't need missionaries anymore. And the group that's on the right is a church plant that this congregation started. It's another congregation that this congregation that used to have missionaries is now saying, no, we're going to go and support another congregation, help this congregation get started. And so Josh is ready to go back and to work with them for a short period of time, encourage them, and be of support to them again, hopefully later on this year. And the elder said, if we can reach $141,150, we can be a part of that. But what if we're able to give more than that? The elder said, what if we can give $151,150? Somebody says, boy, we're getting into some big numbers. If you remember the last few years in this congregation, this congregation has said to the elders, we need to do more. And so the elders have said, okay, here's what we can do. We mentioned in the base that we are reducing our number in house to house just a little bit, still to the same homes, just not as often, because house to house has created another avenue of getting house to house out that we want to be a part of. What house to house does, and what they've been doing for years, is they will mail their publication to an entire carrier route. So the person, the man or woman who delivers to your house, they deliver to your whole carrier route. So it's not just your house. There may be 700 or 800 homes. There might be 1,500 homes on your route. So house to house mails to an entire route. For years they haven't been pick here. It's just if you mail to people, you're mailing to the whole route. That's how they get their discounted rate. But they've been able to come up with a new program now where in addition to mailing to just an entire route, they're able to pinpoint individual addresses. And so now we can supply to house, heart to heart, and say, we not only want to mail to these entire routes all around the church building, here's an address we want you to send to. Here's another address we want you to send to. Here's another specific address we want you to send to. And so what the elders want to do, if we're able to reach this level, what the elders want to do is to say to the congregation, why don't you give us 10 names and addresses of people that you want house to, in this area, that you want house to house, heart to heart to go to. Pick your friends, pick family members, pick some neighbor, pick some coworker that you would love. I think I put a house to house, heart to heart up here. That you would love one of these to go to their house every month, not two times this year, every month this year. What if you could turn in 10 names of people that you would love to get the gospel in their home 12 times this year? Do you know 10 people who live in this area that you would love if we're able to reach $151,150? The elders want you to give those 10 names. Every visitor we have to visit us, we'll add them to that list, and they'll get house to house, heart to heart. It's a great thing that they have been able to develop there, that not only to be able to send to just an entire route, but to pick up a specific address, and we can continue to add addresses to that over the year. Wouldn't that be amazing? If your friends and family came to you and said, you know what, I got something from the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. Do you know anything about the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ? And all of a sudden, a door of opportunity just got open for you because you helped to get something into their home. What else could we do if we reach that level of $151,150? The elders are committed to helping the Spanish congregation that meets in this building. They came back and started meeting this building back in 2016 after being on their own for a while, and they lost that place, came back and been meeting here. But they came to the elders about 3-4 years ago, and they said, can you help us? We realize that this is kind of a temporary situation for us. Can you help us to be able to get out on our own? You know what our elders' answer was? Yes, we want to help you. And so our elders are committed to trying to help this group to be able to stand on their own. Our elders also realize that there is a very apparent need to perhaps get someone in here to work with them on a full-time basis. And so you remember last year, and you remember the year before, that we had this in Mission Sunday. And the elders have been putting aside money to help this congregation in whatever way that we're able to help them on a long-term basis. And so it's here again. The elders want to help. And I forgot to click the button. I forgot to put up the pictures. These are some older pictures, but now they're able to meet in the family room. You know we've got the front part of that family room blocked off for them to have their own space to meet here. But our elders want to help this group in every way that we can. What if we're able to give $160,000, $150 next week? What more could we do? Robert Martin, when he was here, talked about the Pacific Islands Bible College that he started, where he takes the Bible College to the Christians out there to these various islands. And Robert goes and travels, but he has other teachers who go out and travel with him. This last year, Dan McLeod was one of those teachers who got to go out and teach with Robert. And the elders want to be able to help these teachers. It costs for a teacher to go out there and teach for a couple weeks and come back, cost about $4,000 or $5,000 to make that trip. And so the elders want to help cover the expenses, the travel expenses for these teachers to be able to go out and to teach. And again, I forgot to click the button and to show the Pacific Islands Bible College and our part and being able to help them. What else can we do if we reach this level of $160,000, $150? Josh's hope is to be able to go back to Cuba this year. His hope is that when he gets back from Easter Island in a couple weeks, that he'll be able to turn around shortly thereafter and go to Cuba. But Cuba's a hard place to get into. And that visa that he got last year is a little harder to get this year, and so his visa is still pending. Pray about that. Pray that the Lord's will be done and that doors will be open and that Josh will be able to go back into Cuba, but it's hard to get in there. He's got to carry his own food with him because there's not enough food in the country to pay somebody, to feed somebody when they come in there. And yet, I thank God for Josh and for Gary Dahl that goes with him and the others that travel. Josh, thank you for your heart that you don't care where the gospel needs to go, you're going to go. There's a lot of us here that would say, Cuba? Cuba? I'm not sure about going to Cuba. And Josh said, sign me up. Back in 2006 or 7, when there was an opportunity for Josh to go to Nigeria, some of us said, Nigeria? Not sure about that. And Josh said, sign me up. Put me in the car. Pray about it. Another opportunity for us. through answering Macedonian calls. And then finally, what if we're able to give $165,150? Our elders love the TV program In Search of the Lord's Way. They love the simplicity of the preaching that Phil Sanders does on that program. It's every Sunday morning here, 7 o'clock on News Nation. And it's something that you can watch. It's something that you can share with other people to watch. It's available inside of 100 million homes within our country. And yet, and this number is old, so I figure it's up from this. A few years ago, it was costing them $9,000 a day to operate. That's a lot of money. It's probably more than that these days. But that program is making a difference. You can go to searchtv.org and find these programs. You can find them on YouTube as well. The elders want to be a part of supporting this great work. And they also want to be a part of supporting a work that's called Truth for Today. This is something that we have mentioned before in previous years, but the elders wanted it back in Mission Sunday this year. This is a work that's being done out of Searcy, Arkansas, particularly by a man by the name of Eddie Clower. And what they do, you can see pictures here, what they do is they send Bible study materials to preachers and missionaries all over the world. Listen to this. You think these numbers are made up? I called them this last week just to double check. I called them. I said, okay, I'm talking about this on Sunday. I don't want inflated numbers. I want real numbers, okay? Tell me what's going on. So I said, what's your circulation? Here's what they do. Every month, to preachers and missionaries, here's some pictures, they take preaching materials. They write up preaching. There's preachers, there's native preachers. They've never been to a school of preaching. They've never been to a school to train them to be a preacher. They got baptized and they decided they wanted to preach. Great. They need materials. They need something to help them to be able to preach because they're out working 7 days a week. How are they going to prepare something to preach? So here's a group in Arkansas that says, we're going to help them every month with materials to help them in their preaching. So this group in Arkansas is mailing out materials to 30,000 preachers and missionaries every month in 10 different languages. That's a huge work. That's an awesome work that somebody had the idea, hey, let's do that. And the elder said, we want to be a part of that. And over these last several years, we have been able to be a part of that work, and the elders want to continue to be. You might look at $165,150 and you might say, wow, that's a lot. I don't know that we can reach it. You also may be looking at $165,000 and you say, oh, that's all? Really? What if we give more than that? If we give more than that, I promise you, the elders have a list. They've got more things that they want to do. It's a growing list. There's more opportunities they would like to be a part of. And so they are saying to us, brethren, there's at least $165,000, $150 worth of things we can do in 2024, but there's also more that we can do. There is a massive gap. There is an enormous gap that exists between the lost world and salvation from sin. And in Mission Sunday, we can stand in that gap. We can help the gospel to reach those who so desperately need it. Would you pray with me? Our Holy Father, we've been here for quite a while this morning. And sometimes we're concerned about how long we're here and the time that's passing. But Father, we've been talking about things of which there's nothing more important. We've been able to talk about your work. We've been able to talk about the excitement of being a part, just a little part of your work. And Father, as we have talked about our Mission Sunday this morning, as we have heard these challenges, these opportunities that our elders have for us, Father, we rejoice. We rejoice that we get to be a part of this. No matter what level we've reached, that we get to be a part of standing in the gap and taking the gospel to the lost. Father, help us to look at these challenges and opportunities and then help us to look within our hearts. Help us to consider what we personally will give next week. Father, help us to realize that the money that's in our bank account, it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to you. Help us to realize these souls are in need of the gospel. They belong to you too. And Father, help us to bridge that gap. Father, help us to see these as great opportunities, and even more so great opportunities for you. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We don't understand it, and we certainly don't deserve it. But we thank you for our love for us. And we pray that you will help us to want to extend that love so that others can know the love that you have for them. Father, thank you for Mission Sunday. Thank you for the challenge that it is to us. But thank you for what we get to be a part of in your work. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice that he made for us. Father, help us to be willing to make sacrifices for him. Father, please be with Josh as he travels tomorrow. Keep him safe. Be with the church in Easter Island as he works with them. Bring him back safe. Be with Josh and Kara and Dan and Judy as they travel this year all over the place. May you protect them so that they can be used for your cause every place that they go. But Father, we pray that for us individually. Father, we pray that you will use us. Find more and more ways to do it. Father, help us to be willing and eager and happy to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, what we're trying to do is to help people to learn the gospel, to help people to learn the gospel plan of salvation. And while we want 8 billion souls to learn it, more important than that, we want people in this room to learn it, to know it, and to obey it. Have you ever done what the Bible says to do in order to be saved? Not what some church told you to do, not what some man told you to do. Have you ever done what the Bible says to do? The gospel plan of salvation is so simple. It starts with believing the word, believing the message of Jesus Christ, that he came and died for you. He was buried in that tomb, and on the third day he was raised from the dead. Do you believe that with all of your heart? The evidence is overwhelming that that happened. And when that faith is in your heart, knowing that he did that for you, did that for your sins, you ought to look at your sins and say, I don't want those sins anymore. I don't want to live with those sins anymore. I don't want to continue in sin anymore. I want to repent from my sins, turn away from them, turn my life in the direction of God. Have you ever made up your mind to do that? Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. Can we ask you this morning, why are you waiting? If you've never repented of your sins, why do you wait? Do that today. Make up your mind that you're going to give your life to the Lord today. That you'll do what they did in the New Testament. Confess the faith that's in your heart. And today, to be baptized into Christ. Not some other day. Today, to be baptized into Jesus Christ so that the blood of Jesus will wash away every sin you've ever committed. So that he'll add you to his church. So that he'll register your name in heaven. If you've never done it, there's warm water here. I know it's chilly outside, but it's warm water here. There's garments and towels here. There's everything ready for you to be baptized in the way that the Bible says to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can do it today. To be raised to walk in newness of life, to remain faithful to the Lord until the day that you die. If you're not right with the Lord, why don't you get right with him today? The song says, would you live for Jesus? Would you? Are you? If your life isn't right with the Lord, why don't you get right with him right now as together we stand and sing.